at the top there, I says, don't even think about it. And so you're all dismissed. The reason was a question appeared. It was at Park Place, where Jim Carroll and myself go on Tuesday mornings. And the people there have questions. We don't teach like everybody else. How come you don't pray the Our Father prayer? And how come you don't, what about give us this day our daily bread? Aren't you interested in praying for that? And so there's questions arise, and when you form a study the following week, the next week, I tell them, the residents there, to have a question, I'll write it down, and I'll bring the study next week. And so I did that, but the lady that asked the question wasn't there. So what I learned. but the question was around Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 down in there. And it says, after this manner, therefore pray ye our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I don't know why I'm reading it. I have it here. Grew up Catholic, so. But it's a common prayer that people pray. You know, if your boat's sinking or the plane's going down, they pray the Our Father. It's just something that's inbred in people. But it's exactly what the Lord did not intend that prayer to be. Look at verse 5, Matthew 6, 5. It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So they repeat the prayers. Anyone here ever pray the rosary? It was Catholic, and you had rosaries, and you prayed that, and you had act of contrition, five Hail Marys, two Our Fathers, and then you had the 50 sets, five sets of 10 Hail Marys, one Our Father in between those. Anyhow, I don't know why I said that, but it's something that you just repeated, and you think that God's going to hear you. You know, you lost your job or something, so I'll pray the rosary. You know, that'll get me through. But what sense is there in... I'm going to read a verse in 1 Corinthians and 14. It says this. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. Also, I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. So if we're going to pray a prayer that was not even supposed to be a prayer, it was just a model of how they should pray, who they should pray to, Heavenly our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, holy are you, sanctified. And so who you should pray to, how you should pray, not with vain repetition. And then what you should pray for, give us this day our daily bread. And I'm sure there's more involved in them, what I just told you. But we want to look at mostly the thing that says the timing. First of all, the timing of the prayer, it's a timely prayer. It's associated with the nation Israel and prophecy. And if when we understand what's going to go on here in Matthew 6 and following, that we'll see that it is not a prayer given for the Gentiles or at this time in the time of the dispensation of the grace of God. So as we get into this here, let's go down to verse 9. It says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Israel only back then was the that could call God their Father. The Gentiles were excluded at that time. We know that now. And so they say, our Father. So this is not given to the Gentiles. It's not a model prayer for them. The heathen, the Gentiles, use what? Vain repetition. So what does mankind do with the model prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Israel? They take the model prayer. This is how you think about prayer before you go to God, what to ask for, etc. And then they take that model prayer and they use vain repetition. They just keep repeating this prayer, thinking that they'll get their daily bread. Well, did they? Let's find out. Verse 10. And we're gonna go through the prayer, and then we're gonna look at what they asked for. And in verse 10, it says, Christ says to pray for the kingdom to come, that will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So where is the Father at the time of this prayer? Our Father which art in heaven. And they're on earth, right? Praying this prayer. Christ is on earth saying, thy kingdom what? Come. So where do they want the kingdom to be? In earth. And so that's the earthly promise. There is going to be a heavenly kingdom that's going to be established on earth in Jerusalem. And it's going to be real. And God promised it. It hasn't came yet. And so it's still in the future yet for us. Future for Israel. We'll be in glory by then, right? Amen. All of us are going to be in glory? Amen. You betcha. You believe the gospel. Ask the Father for his kingdom to come while they were on earth. Which means the kingdom isn't there in Matthew chapter 6. The next verse is the one we're kind of after. Matthew 6:11 says, give us this day our daily bread. Okay? They had to pray. Christ told them to pray for your daily bread. Ask the Father every day for food. Is that what we're doing? Would it make more sense for us today, understanding what's back there? Would it make more sense for us in the dispensation of grace to thank God every day for the bread we have? We have Thanksgiving coming up, and that's the truth there. To pray for it, that's another topic. Not so much on the topic of prayer, but on prophecy and what Christ told them to ask for. And then verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so that's conditional forgiveness. That's not forgiveness by grace through faith, is it? No. Christ didn't go on the cross yet, and that was according to prophecy, not mystery. 6:13 says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. And I've read over that verse many times, but isn't there a Bible that omits part of that? Is that Jim? Which Bible is that? Thine is the kingdom? All of them. They omit, thine is the kingdom? Okay. Christ says, pray to the Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is there any evil in the kingdom of God, that thousand-year millennium? I'd shake my head, no. He says, deliver us from evil. Turn back to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Oh. Let's try verse 1 first. That'd be better. Then was Jesus what? Led up out of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Lead us not into temptation. Christ says, pray to the Father that you don't go through what I did. He did what? 40 days in the wilderness, and after that he was hungry. Look at chapter 7. Oh, back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. Daniel 2:44 says this, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Matthew 6:13 said, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom. Who has control of the kingdom at this time? The prince of the power of the air. and what Christ is saying, that thine is the kingdom. It's your kingdom, so it's your kingdom. Keep us safe and keep us fed. And that's what Christ is telling them to ask the Father. It's your kingdom, and it's going to last forever. It's not there yet. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. And I found this interesting that it's kind of attached directly underneath this prayer. It says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto them men to fast. Verily I say unto you that they have the reward. But when thou fastest, anoint thy head, and so on. Fasting is something, and I'm going to take you to another verse. Mark chapter 2. Keep in your place in Matthew. Mark chapter 2. In verse 18, it says, and the disciples of John and the Pharisees used to fast as they come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? Mark 2:19. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom, that's Christ, with them, they cannot fast. They cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Talking about tribulation. Christ is going to be gone. The kingdom's not there yet. And so what happens before the kingdom? 7 years of tribulation. He's setting them up to understand what tribulation life is going to be, how to pray in the trib. It's not kingdom doctrine. There's no fasting in the kingdom. They shall never hunger, nor never thirst. Matthew 6:25, getting to the heart of something here. Back to Matthew chapter 6, in verse 25. Christ speaking, of course. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And so he says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or drink. And I put up a list of the things that goes through here as we read the verses. These will come up. Take no thought. You know what? Some people say, everybody doesn't think like me. Imagine that. Well, everybody doesn't think. But that was supposed to be funny. Take no thought for your life. Okay? Try to put this on today. Put this on in your everyday. Take no thought for what you should eat. What does that do with my job? I'm going to stay home. Take no thought for what you're going to eat or drink. Your body needs. Put on what you should put on. Raiment is clothing. And we'll get to the other verses there. But Christ says, take no thought for that. You know, we're closed with some other verses where Paul says, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. These verses don't fit today. Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air. Matthew 6:26. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Christ is making an example. Here's the heavenly, these fowls in the air, and the heavenly Father feeds them. Fed, the provision comes from the Father. These birds don't work. They don't sow. They don't reap. They have fast food, just drive through, and God feeds them. The provision. He's teaching by example. The example shows up in Luke 24. I'll read it. Luke 12. 24 says, consider the ravens, and that's the fowl that he's talking about. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouses nor barn, but God feeds them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? He's teaching them that God is going to do what? Give them each day their daily bread. So that's one part there. The ravens, do they have to think about eating? Or they just, when they're hungry, they find something and they eat it. You know something? That's in Leviticus. The ravens are unclean birds. You're not supposed to eat them. In Psalms 147:9, he says, "He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry." The ravens, he says, the ravens cry, and God does what? Feeds them. People cry in the prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." And what happens? God feeds them. I love the examples Christ uses, Scripture uses, and how clear and simplistic, I don't mean to make that sound low, but it's easy to understand once you see it. In 1 Kings 17, now why don't we turn back there? Keep your place in Matthew. 1 Kings 17 and verse 4. This is Elijah. 1 Kings 17, verse 4. Something that shows, verse 4. It says, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Where did he get his provision? From God. But the ravens delivered it to him. Back at Matthew chapter 6, Elijah, the idea there is a type in the trib where he needs to be fed. There's famine in that time. Matthew chapter 6, 28. It says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil not, neither do they spin." And I suppose Christ is talking, and what would you think is by his feet? He says, "Consider the lilies." I'm sure that cue the lilies. You know, here you have the lilies right there. To make an example, he uses real thing, touch and feely things back there so that they can understand spiritual things. Verse 28, "Why take ye thought for raiment, your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." God's clothed the lilies. 6:30 says, "Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, so shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith, O ye of little faith." God clothes the grass. They don't do any work, do they? It just kind of grows there. God sees that it grows. And he says, "How much better are you than the grass?" So what's the implication? God's going to clothe you. Jim's got much nicer raiment than a lot of us do. But he must have been praying. The next verse, Matthew 6:31. It says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." God Almighty, the Father, knows that they need these things. So what's the answer? Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it. He says, "Well, I forgot to put the kingdom up." seek the kingdom. If you seek the kingdom, are you going to be listening to Christ? Are you going to be believing he's the king? You're going to be a believer. A Jew in Israel would have been looking for that kingdom. And if you're looking for that kingdom, forget about this. Forget about it. That would have been a good title. I'm not from New York, though. Forget about it. And they didn't have to think about these things because God says, I'm going to provide it for you. Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for itself, the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He says tomorrow there's going to be evil. He's looking forward to the trib. God's going to provide for you, though. You keep doing what I say, and you seek that kingdom, and understand and believe my words, and it's going to take care of itself. Matthew chapter 24. Christ will take care of them. Matthew 24. They asked Christ, what shall be the 24. Here. Come on. Matthew 24, 1. Go down to verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and when shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And so he tells them. And by the time we get over to verse 7, it says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And so he says, there's going to be what? There's going to be a famine in the land. I have that famine up over there in the trib. So if there's famine and Israel's supposed to go through the trib and God promised them their daily food, what do you think he's going to do with Israel in the trib? Is he going to feed them? Okay, let's watch. Verse 15. For when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Okay, you remember that. Luke 21:21 says, let them that which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter in thereinto. Evacuate Jerusalem. And go where? Into the mountains. Matthew 24, verse 17. Keep this. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. For then shall be what? Great tribulation, such as what was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. All right. You're at work. Let's make it modern. You're at work. And or at home, watching Wheel of Fortune. Judy's really good at that. And when you see the abomination that comes over the internet that this Antichrist has landed in Jerusalem and he's claiming to be Christ, what does that verse say? You're supposed to flee to the mountains, Mount Clemens. And don't take anything out of the house. I mean, if the house was on fire and you had to grab one thing, what would it be? Don't answer that. But it says take nothing out of the house. If I'm going to run to the mountains to hide from the Antichrist, man, I'm going to, you got your AK-47 or whatever. I'm joking, I don't have one. I want to protect myself. God's going to protect and provide. And that's what he's telling these folks here, the nation of Israel. Great tribulation. I want you to keep your place in Matthew and turn back to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel Let's see. Jeremiah, Ezekiel. After Jeremiah, I just found it. Ezekiel 34. And Israel is still bound by prophecy in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in Ezekiel 34, verse 11, it says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I," watch how many times "I" shows up, "the Lord God, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock. In the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." Cloudy and dark day, where do you think that he's talking about? Tribulation. 34:13. "And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land and feed them" where? "Upon the mountains." If you're in Judea, you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Flee to the mountains. And so where's God? Verse 11 said, "I, the Lord God," who's speaking? The Lord God. "I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country." 14, "I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel, and shall their fold be there." The mountains of Israel shall be their fold be. "There shall they lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture, and shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God." Isn't that comforting? You're going to go through trouble, but I'll take care of you. And he's prophesying something here about what's going to happen in the time of trouble, Jacob's trouble, that's in that tribulation time. And in, I'll just read this to you in Matthew chapter 10, 7 says, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." Maybe you should turn there, Matthew chapter 10. And in Matthew 10:8, it says, "Heal the sick." Kingdom's not here yet. "Cleanse the leper." There ain't no lepers in the kingdom. Who's going to heal them? "Raise the dead. Cast out devils." Oh, my goodness. There's no devils in the kingdom, is there? Okay, so he's still talking about tribulation time. "Freely receive, freely give. Provide neither" what? "Gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat," and so on. But you're going completely, you're not taking any clothes with you, you're not taking any coats with you, you're not taking any staffs with you, you're not taking any money with you. You just go. And God's going to take care of you. Everything rides on God's promise to the nation of Israel here, and we'll see that it to us also. It's interesting now, the verse 19, Matthew 10:19. It says, "When they deliver you up, take no thought." Again, take no thought. When they deliver you up, when you're going to go into prison, when your enemy takes you, "how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak." Don't even think about what you're going to say when you get captured. What does Paul say? "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We're not Israel, and we're not praying this format here, "deliver us from evil." Well, he did when he said that he would deliver them. He would find them out and deliver them. He delivered them from evil. In Colossians chapter 1, it says that we have been delivered out of the... delivered from the power... I got to get it. It fits. Colossians 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? The prayer said, deliver us from evil. Do we need to pray that prayer? It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Thy kingdom come. We've got it made already. We've already there. We're already there. Written down in stone. He's got our seat seated in heavenly places, it says. We're ready to go for the believer. Let's go to, I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 7. Verse 14, and we'll go through this quickly as we're time is closing in. Revelation 7:14, it says, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest, and he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Are they in the tribulation anymore? No. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they become before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall what? Feed them. In the kingdom, God's going to provide. In the trib, God's going to provide. Just uses different avenues on how to do it. In the feeding of the 5,000, the 4,000, Christ took a loaf of how many loaves of bread and some fish. And he gave thanks to God, and then he gave it to who? His disciples to pass it out. So the way he provided, he made the provision multiply, but he gave it to his disciples to pass out. So that was Christ to the disciples, to the people. And if we could bring that full circle, Paul says, in the dispensation of grace, Paul says, verse 3:8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Did Paul have to think about what he had to eat and drink? Yeah. And even there's one time where he says, where he was in prison, he told Timothy to bring the cloak. He was cold. He didn't have all the clothes he needed. Here they had provision for that. Christ said, you pray for those things. God's going to provide. He provided for the lilies of the field, the grass of the field. He clothed them. How much more are you more important? Paul had to ask to get that from his co-worker. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. They're disorderly, he says. Verse 12, now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. That's kind of different than having all things common, isn't it? It's different. If any provide not for his own, especially of those of his own house, he has denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. I just need to wrap this up. The format in Romans, Matthew chapter 6, is how to pray, who to pray to, and what to ask for, and that was under prophecy. Today we're under mystery, the gospel of the grace of God. It was a timely verses with a trib in view, and that was prophecy. For believers in this age to use the Our Father as a prayer is to ask for something he's not doing in the dispensation of grace. For an unsaved person today to pray for the kingdom to come, something comes before the kingdom. What's he praying? He's praying damnation on his head because he would have to go through the tribulation before that kingdom ever showed up. He's going to be wiped out. Unsaved person got no business, no one's got any business praying that as a prayer. God will keep true to his promise and give Israel food in the mountains and in the trib and in the kingdom. And we're not excluded from what God's promised us. We just don't have time to get into it all. So let's give thanks in prayer. Father, again, we're thankful for your word and how you show comparisons in your scriptures that we might learn what you have for us today and what you plan for someone else. Thank you that we are not without your love, without your wisdom that you give to all men who freely ask. In Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen.